to Olivia Cox and Rachel Dalley.
And now some of the less regular penalty takers have got to stand up and be counted. And I number amongst that list Gareth Southgate. And Kupka saved it!
This is Pitch Talk World Cup Edition on FUBAR Radio.
Indeed. Welcome to Pitch Talk. I am incredibly nervous, excited. I think it might be coming home. Olivia Cox, how are you?
So much atmosphere going on in the studio right now. Can't really figure out whether or not this is going to be a successful match for us. We're going to be talking throughout, of course, this our third World Cup edition. We will be covering what England have been up to up till now and what our expectations are for us tonight. Of course, we're playing Colombia at 7 p.m. Our first knockout after... A lot of the players were rested, actually, at the end of our group game. So even Kane was kept off the pitch, and that was a bit of a controversial decision. So we're all hoping that Gareth Southgate's boys will bring it home.
I'm sorry, but I've been... And I think we... Obviously, we'll be talking about other things apart from the England game.
obviously, we're not biased here.
But I think the entire nation, I'm going this bold, I think we've started off very excited. It's coming home. It's this is it. This is ours. Now we're a bit like,
I know, our dreams could be shattered. It's a little bit of that. Maybe we spoke too soon. And the trouble with a tournament like this, and especially with England, because they do have a tendency to underperform at big moments.
No,
you don't want to get your hopes up, but then at the same time, you don't want to miss the opportunity to be hopeful and excited.
I mean, so in the press today, Gareth Southgate has ordered that the England stars, they need to keep calm and carry on and deliver. Don't let emotions ruin our plan. I think that's one big thing.
It's a huge thing because we have got such a young team. They are so inexperienced on the international stage. And A, they don't know exactly how they gel together yet. They're getting there. But B, when you're younger, it is, I mean, emotions do rule you a little bit more. So it is going to be a really interesting one, seeing England. I mean, we've only won two knockout games since 1990.
And now we look back and, you know, we haven't had a moment like this since, I think it was 2006. And the thing is, we don't know what this England team are like. And I think that's where everyone is now feeling a bit. We can be very, very excited because when we are on form, we are strong. We have such a good lineup. We really, really do. And, you know, with Kane leading at the forefront, we have such a strong team. But we don't know what our boys are capable of doing. I mean, Danny Rose has been speaking today about Harry Kane. And he says that, first of all, this is what Rose has been saying. Obviously, Rose and Kane, they play together over at Spurs. He says, at Tottenham, he is the first person in. We don't have to pour in until 9 a.m, but he gets in about 8:30 a.m. This is Harry Kane. He's in at the gym before training. He's the first one to lead us out onto the training pitch at Spurs. And exactly the same with England.
I mean, that is all well and good, but how much does this man get paid to make sure he's in at 8:30 a.m?
Oh, she's good. She's very, very good.
Sorry.
But the fact is, he is there. They all turn to Harry,
I think. Oh.
No. But
Bravo,
the fact that they turn to him and they... Yeah, he's, the fact that he's turned up. The fact that they look up to him, they turn to him, they come to him for advice. And the fact that even when
he's like the father figure, isn't he?
Yes, for someone so young. Hence why, you know, Southgate chose to make him the captain because he does set these examples. They've said as well that he's very humble. He's a very nice person. Another thing that might not notice is whenever we concede at Spurs, this is Danny Rose saying, I always look at Harry for his reaction. reaction, and he's always encouraging, telling everyone to keep their heads up. That, to me, is the perfect England captain that are going to win this World Cup.
You know, that is a lovely little bromance. And I did notice after the England game that they all seemed to go and cuddle each other, and there was something really tactile about it. And even Gareth Southgate, really, I mean, he has spoken out and said maybe there was a bit too much of a loving after that game, but it really felt like they have bonded over there in Russia.
Yeah.
And as if we have a really cohesive team, which, I mean, that's what we need. I mean, England have played, in fact, England and Brazil are the only teams to have played every single tournament since 1950. Yeah, Brazil have won 5, England have won 1. Mm-hmm. Now's the time to get our numbers up. We have got such a lovely little team.
Well, yeah, we really do. And if you, you know, you have a look at our boys, I think they will revert to the strongest lineup, which will be Ashley Young. He's set to come in for Danny Rose. Dele Alli, if he's fit to play after his thigh injury, he should be coming in. Obviously, you've got Kane. Who else do I think? Trippier, definitely. Walker, I think we'll have. Henderson, Lingard. I think, again, you're looking at these boys, and you know what? This World Cup is insane. We've got Germany out, Argentina out, Portugal out, Spain all out.
I know.
It's the most...
We are one of the only greats still left in.
We've
got such a clear path now. And the trouble is, I think that this is really going to come down to small errors. And hopefully, it's not going to come down to penalties.
I don't want it to come down to penalties.
Because we routinely underperform in penalties.
We do. And I mean, my old ticker will not deal with penalties. Right, here we go. So, some facts for the Three Lions, and you know, the fact that it says here how Three Lions can avoid more shootout hell. So basically, we've got no time. I think the minute we see the penalties, we're like, well, going home now, going home. 12 of the last 15 shootouts in major tournaments have been won by the team going first. So if we do get to penalties, let's hope we go first.
So hang on, we're just going to treat this like a bit of fluke and a magic trick and try and toss the coin a bit.
It's the only way
in
forward,
the right,
babe.
Wind. Oh, right,
if
okay.
we get down to
good,
penalties.
Good. I'm glad that our country's hopes are relying on that.
Yes, it is. If we get down to penalties, we need a wing and a prayer and a prayer and a wing. Here goes. Strikers score 79% of the time, midfielders 69% of the time. So we need Vardy and Rashford to be at the end. There's so much here. Harry Kane's 2 penalties against Panama suggest that the England skipper studies the stats, which show that, which I think they all do, don't they? Let's face it, they all study the stats, and especially of the team going forward that they're going to be playing against. Fewer penalties are successful in the bottom third. I basically think, penalties. I want to know, can you tweet us? We've got some tweets coming through. Can you tweet us, if we get down to penalties, what do we think is going to happen?
I predict that Rachel Downey is going to be under the sofa.
Oh, if I could fit.
Well, the thing is, we've got a strong team, and I hate to rubbish the other side just to, you know, make us feel better, but Colombia do have their star player arguably a little bit injured. He limped out of the 1-0 defeat of Colombia. No, to Colombia.
I don't think he's playing, though, Rodriguez, if you're talking about him. I don't know if he's going to be playing.
His scan has shown that there's no torn muscle. It's just a bit of swelling, so it's still a little bit up in the air. If he doesn't play, then that will be a major, major bonus for England, because he is one of their, easily their best players.
Yeah, that will be one of our little, well, the first of many miracles. I've spent all my rubbish on the floor. I hope you notice this.
Rachel's frantically leafing through her notes here. I feel like there's something big coming.
No, but I was going to agree with you there about if we don't have Rodriguez. Very quickly, there are tweets coming through. We want to know as well. We want your interaction today. Can you tweet us what you think the score's going to be? And I mean, if we get penalties, can you let me know what you think our chances are? This is from Jonathan Dyer, at Jonathan Dyer 91. You're younger than me, Jonathan. That doesn't really make a difference, does it? Everyone's younger than me. Well, it's looking very exciting, isn't it? #, is this our year? It'd be great to just get to the final, smiley face. #, now
yeah,
stop believing.
Would.
It's not over till the weighty lady sings.
Nice, nice. But actually, before the finals started, we had a 4% chance of winning.
I love these stats.
That's now been revised to 7. But that is significantly less than Brazil, which was 25%. However, Spain was 13%, and of course they've now gone home. So we will be moving slowly up in the rankings, and I see no reason why this can't be our year.
I'm just so scared. Very quickly, some of the... betting odds there. England to beat Colombia 3-1 after 90 minutes is 20-1, a well-known bookmakers. I don't know. Do you know what? My nerves are all over the place. They really, really are. Very quickly, still sticking with England. Ashley Young has promised England players will be belting out the national anthem tonight after learning from the past. Southgate has ordered the squad to sing God Save the Queen, as some stars have not bothered in previous years.
Why? What were they singing before?
They didn't even know the words.
What?
Yeah, I know. Naughty players.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, so I'm glad that's obviously changing. And I think, again, there's a different pride. There feels like there's a different pride within
this. I mean, going forward into the knockout stages, there is a huge amount of pride. And I think if we get through this game, it's suddenly going to feel very real. And it's really going to validate all of these countries' hopes that we've pinned on our guys. Our guys out in Russia.
Yeah, come on, guys. And then talk about Russia. Russia entered the tournament as lowest ranking team, whilst Spanish media have critiqued the Spanish team harshly, branding them as stupid and negligent. We are talking about Spain, who are out after losing on penalties to Russia. And what an incredible, do you know what, Russia,
that's a hell of a game,
were all over Spain. Russia. And the thing is, I mean, we've got some facts here. End of Spain's greatest footballing generations. Iniesta is to retire. Sergio Ramos, he'll be 36 in the next cup in 2022, so obviously he probably won't be there.
Well, there's a lot of question marks hanging over, actually. Even Ronaldo, I mean, he's kind of refused to comment, but whether or not this might be his last World Cup, he hasn't announced it. Messi, will he be coming back?
I think it'll be Messi's last one.
I mean, there are so many greats that have come out, but yes, as you're saying, Russia v Spain, such an exciting game. Again, went down to penalties after just 11 minutes. There was quite a bizarre goal, actually. Sergei Ignatovich inadvertently deflected the ball into his own goal as he wrestled with Ramos at a crossball, which
doesn't really show...
It didn't really show any actual gameplay. It wasn't a convincing lead from Spain. So Spain, yes, they took the lead, but then Russia levelled just before half time. So actually, you're quite right. Russia really did.
They were all over Spain. Yep. And the thing is, you're right. Coming into this tournament, no one put anything on Russia. They really didn't. But what they did, I think, stupidly, there's a lot of Premier League players in that Russian team that are fantastic, and that's what the difference is. Yes, Russia as a World Cup team previously, no one really thought much of it. It was always going to be Brazil or Spain or France or Germany, but they actually didn't realise the players that they've got in the team, they're Premier League worthy. They are stars in their own right. They're very, very talented, and that's why they've done so well. And I'm really happy for Russia, actually, to see them do that well. Obviously, I don't want them to beat us whatsoever, but they were all over Spain and they were the right winners. And the thing is, you know, with Spain, I mean, a lot of people are saying, where does the blame lie? Sacking the manager 2 days before the start of the tournament.
I mean, that's never going to help.
I think, let's be honest, sacking the manager 2 days before a tournament isn't exactly the wise thing. One thing in the press that I've loved that's made my old, is it cockles? Is it your cockles?
You warm your cockles.
Yes.
I do believe, yeah.
That warmed my cockles was Peter Schmeichel, who paid tribute to his son Kasper and the Denmark squad after the World Cup exit. Schmeichel Jr. say 3 spot kicks against Croatia. I mean, he was, I don't know what a goalkeeper does this, and yet ends up still out of the World Cup. But obviously he couldn't avert a defeat in the shootout on Sunday. Schmeichel Sr. tweeted, so Peter Schmeichel tweeted, "Can't be more proud of my country, my son, his teammates, all the staff and our fantastic national coach. When the tears have dried, we'll realise how well we did."
They really
did. It gets
me
still.
But you know what, Schmeichel, he's a little legend, Sr. Schmeichel. You know, he was the goalkeeper in 92 when Denmark, actually, they hadn't qualified.
It's amazing.
And then, was it Yugoslavia? One of the teams had to pull out, and so they were the next ones up. So they entered as massively
the
underdog.
It's a generation. It's,
and they won.
Yeah. So, and the fact that now his son is...
I mean, his son was an absolute hero throughout that game.
Yeah,
the number
he was.
Of saves. He just... I mean, he's huge. I mean, I remember back in my day, I'm sure goalkeepers used to be smaller, but now they just seem to fill the goal.
Well, my brother used to be a goalkeeper. There we go, for Luton Town.
Oh.
Here's a little fact for the Hatters. I thought he was quite good.
Is he big?
I mean, he's not overly large, so I agree with you for your
Thank
fact
you.
There.
Thank
I was
you.
Just
I
sharing some insight to my family, I suppose. Not really going anywhere.
There was a little bit of controversy. A lot of people were confused. So if you were confused about why...
Mitchell was chatting.
No, why there was not a red card when Croatia actually ended up getting the penalty kick because of Ante Rebic being taken down with a wide open goal, it's because the rules recently changed, which means that if the player is going for the ball within the 6 metre goal box, mm-hmm. So long as they're going for the ball, they cannot be awarded a penalty and a red card. It's either or. So that is why he got a penalty and the yellow card, even though it was a completely obvious foul.
And again, I think it goes back to, not to talk about VAR, I don't
yet.
Want to talk about it, but yet, it goes back to maybe, you know, certain players, people involved within the World Cup, they need to be educated more about it, because people do not know. And it's getting quite infuriating, I think, for a lot of people. It really is. Who else? Very quickly, very quickly.
Belgium versus Japan. Japan were 2-0 up before Belgium came back and won. And
my nerves.
That was, I know.
I was so gutted for Japan.
I know.
I was really, I've been quite emotional watching the game recently.
It was almost the last kick of the game, which is what really sealed it. And I think that's what made it difficult to stomach, because they were playing so well.
Yeah, Japan, for a lot of that, again, personally, I think we're all over Belgium, but Belgium showed, they showed how they could potentially go on and be World Cup winners.
You know what? Fair one. They beat us.
Yeah.
So if you're going to lose to the best.
In our B team.
There you go.
Game. Yeah, they did.
And of course, Brazil will now play Belgium on Friday night.
That's going to be an amazing game.
It is.
That really, really is. But not as good as tonight's game. But enough about tonight's game for now. We are going to play you some of the Belgium-Japan highlights. And get your tissues ready, because I was sad to hear when Japan left. Here we go.
Belgium come face to face with the only Asian team left in the competition. It's missed by Vertonghen. It's a great chance for Haraguchi. He scores! The 2018 FIFA World Cup finals continue to surprise. Here's Kagawa trying to find room for the shot. He'll eventually come in. 2-0! Takashi Inoue! What a strike! What a shock! What a scene in Rostov, and Belgium in real trouble of going out in the round of the last 16. And back in. Oh, what a header! It's a tremendous goal from Vertonghen. Found room for the cross. Fellaini! Fabulous comeback from Belgium. Japan desperate to cover the spaces. They can't do so for the moment. Lukaku, and here's a winner! Chadley strokes Belgium into a quarter-final against Brazil, and it is all over. What a game. Belgium 3, Japan 2.
FUBAR Radio presents
Film This with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
Bond producers Michael G. Wilson and Barbara Broccoli said in a statement, we are
Barbara Broccoli?
Why is that? Yeah.
Broccoli?
that what?
No one's got a surname Broccoli.
Barbara has.
When they were coming up with surnames, who's
when
thought?
They were coming up with surnames?
Yeah.
I mean, well, you could say when they were coming up with names, who came up with Dick? Why have you just got
I just
silent?
Thought that was funny if you were silent.
Do you know what I mean?
Broccoli, wow.
Every Friday.
Film This with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
From 1 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, this is FUBAR Radio, our World Cup edition. Again, there is a game tonight. I don't know if anyone realised. I don't know if many people have been speaking about it.
I think a couple have. And, of course, those were the Belgium versus Japan highlights that we just played you, which I think was probably a case of them getting a little ahead of themselves. You know when you're about to go home and suddenly you get a cold, and it's like your body's just let everything in.
Yeah.
You've like let your defences down.
You've been all cocky.
You've been cocky. You let your defences down. You deserve it. And that is exactly what we need to make sure we, watching the TV, that England does not do tonight.
Well, I feel the responsibility in another man that I'd like to feel the responsibility to see what I'm doing here. It's good, like, this professionalism.
Segway, thanks, babe.
We have the first football referee affiliating in the professional leagues. This is Ryan Atkin. And Ryan, very quickly, and before we go any further, tonight's game, what do you think the score will be?
It's going to be tight. It's going to be very tight. I'm going to say 1-0 to England.
Oh, thank God for that.
That makes me really even more nervous.
No,
I can't deal with that.
I feel like Ryan is enough of an authority that I'm going to take that, and I'm going to assume that that's correct.
Okay, yeah.
Have you enjoyed the World Cup so far?
Immensely. I think it's great, and I think it's actually been quite refreshing to see some high powered and big teams go out of the competition.
Brilliant, isn't it?
And obviously, you know, last night's game for Japan, I was rooting for Japan.
Yeah,
I think we all were.
And it was that last minute goal, and that's the beauty of football.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a very interesting last 16 now. and I think it makes it more fun for fans. And a lot of sweepstakes, I think, of people thought they were early in, they're going to win it, and now they're sort of, you know, if you've got somebody that you didn't expect, I think, you know, you're laughing, really.
It literally is one of the most insane World Cups. I think that's what gets us so excited to date. But I think it's all, I don't know, I get the feeling that it might all change with tonight's game. I think tonight's game will be quite a decider.
It will definitely change for us, because if we get knocked out, then the pressure is off us and we almost enjoy it. I think there is an element of being able to relax and enjoy without all that tension and trying to almost make deals with yourself of who you want to support.
But you always want to support you don't want to support the team that ends up knocking England out, basically.
Exactly.
But let's hope there's no controversy.
Before we talk any more, I want to talk about yourself. You were the first football referee in the professional league to come out as gay. When was that?
Last August.
And why? What made you at that time think it was the right time?
There's been a lot of work done with the professional leagues, and there's been a lot of work done with people like Stonewall, Football versus Homophobia, Pride in Football. And, you know, a lot of people are making great strides from a fan base point of view and around the scenes, but it's still not encouraging anybody within the professional games to come out. And so for me, it was the right time for me, and I just felt that football needed it needed somewhere to go, and it needed someone to start the process. You know, I'm a referee, I've got quite thick skin anyway.
That's true.
And so I just felt it was right for me, through personal reasons as well, having been demoted a couple of seasons previously for not having a good season as a referee because of my sexuality, wanting to be honest and open. And as I've always said, when you're sort of living a lie or living in the shadows, it plays a massive part on your mental health. And so when I got promoted back to where I was at the time, I decided that I wasn't going to go down that slippery path again.
And what was the kind of response that you received?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I mean, I think the recent coming out in America in the MLS, it proves that actually players will be supported. I was supported. You do get your odd Twitter troll, your Facebook troll.
You're always gonna
but,
get,
you know, yeah. They're very, you know, you just laugh at some of the comments, but, you know, 98% is very supporting, so.
And what about the players themselves? Did you find that there was a lot of support from them? Had you ever run into any difficulties with them?
I hadn't run into difficulties since coming out. I had obviously refereed since I was 15, and I've heard people, you know, shout "get up you faggot" and "get up you queer," especially players on players typically will "fuck off you gay" or whatever, you know. And so, you know, it's people using the language within the
educating
game.
Educating about the language as well. I'm a Jewish girl and I support Spurs.
Yeah.
And I do not like Yid Army. I find it incredibly offensive. Again, it's educating people why. And my other half, he's not Jewish, he's been a Spurs fan for years, and his attitude is, yeah, but it's not sung in a nasty way. It's like, but just because something is said in a happy way doesn't mean it's not offensive.
Exactly. And I think we in society now are more aware of what is acceptable and what's not. And I think the excuse and the ignorance around people not understanding what words mean, especially with the internet and the fact that, you know, you've got access on your mobile phone and it's in the press daily about what's acceptable and what's not. I think a lot of people do play the ignorance card, and I think slowly but surely that's sort of changing a little bit now.
Do you there's so many questions.
Intake of breath. Rachel, you go first.
Do you think that players are going to follow what you have done and come out? There is a big thing, especially with Premier League players, of rumoured that are gay that don't come out. Is that gonna change? Why do you feel they can't? Supposedly, we're not naming any names, we're not doing any of that, but why do you feel maybe some, if they were gay, haven't come out?
Obviously, there are gay players in professional football. And I think it's twofold, really. One, their life and their experience within the game is completely different to mine. You know, they are the high paid celebrity sort of lifestyle. Secondly, there is a belief that when players finish in this country, for example, the avenues to then continue your career is shortened if you don't cause too much controversy. So, for example, if you're an out gay player, you wouldn't necessarily be interested in playing in maybe the Middle East or Asia and areas like that. And so, and would teams actually take you being an out player? So they're thinking about themselves as a business and longevity of what their where their career could be. I also think footballers are very, very private people. You don't really read about their personal lives too much unless they marry somebody who's also famous. You know, we don't necessarily hear about footballers.
Or have very good injunctions.
But, you know, they are very private. And I think, I think there is a fear factor there. I think they will always be labelled the first out gay footballer. No, it's exactly the same for me, you know, the first out gay referee. And that's quite a heavy burden.
Is that a title that bothers you, or is it something you're proud about?
I'm quite proud about it. I think, again, being a referee, you've got quite thick shoulders and you've got quite thick skin. But there is a lot of pressure when you, or people put you on a pedestal and you begin to represent the community in which in which you are. You know, and for me, I try and, you know, when I'm asked to speak, I try and speak about subjects that actually I'm actually involved in, so there's credibility. If you were to ask me about other areas around LGBT plus, you know, that's not my background and I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of those people. But I think players, you know, there is a massive pressure there. I think there's a lot of pressure to be the first one. So actually that additional pressure to be the first one could actually be closing more doors than it's opening. But I honestly believe that, you know, when a player comes out, they'll receive so much support. You know, there's massive fan base around it, supporters, networks and things. They'll be set for life, sponsorship. You know, they'll have deals to write, you know, do OK Magazine, write a book.
probably
do a movie.
It's true, you know.
You know, and I just think, again, you look at the MLS player that just came out this week, and the support he's received online is absolutely fantastic.
I mean, it is a growing community, and you did touch upon some of the other countries where perhaps it's not quite as forward-thinking, liberal, they haven't quite got to the understanding and education that our country has. What do you think it's like for some of the players out in Russia? Because there have been some comments that have come back about how difficult it is being LGBT plus in that community. There was a quote here from someone called Sasha, who organises LGBT events, and she said, every month we hear bad news concerning the LGBT community. Someone is blackmailed or someone is punched.
You know, we read these reports all the time, and, you know, we're quite privileged in this country to have a number of media outlets that are pro-LGBT or are LGBT magazines, so you get to find out a lot of news about what's happening around the world. And, it, you know, if you think about how sad it is, actually, we probably weren't aware of what was happening maybe 20 years ago in these countries. And, yeah, you know, countries where it is illegal to be gay, or the state don't recognise it, or there's a massive negativity around it, I think is very sad. And I think places like Russia, you know, at the moment, I think they've got, you know, I want to say a free pass, but I hope that gets extended past the World Cup. I'm not hopeful, and that's purely, you know, from how the Russian politics and the view of the people of Russia are. So I think it's not a good state of affairs, and I think the World Cup, while it brings it to the table and it brings it to the forefront, I don't think it's going to have the desired impact that actually, you know, people within these countries or LGBT or allies would want. And I think it's very sad. And I think, you know, I go out hopefully next week to talk around LGBT in sport and hopefully go and see a game. And, you know, I've said to people that I've gone out who are LGBT, if you're going to go out, just be careful, be safe, abide by the country's rules and laws, whether you agree with them or not. Don't go out to be a martyr, because, you know, it's Russia after all, and, you know, we do hear horror stories.
Yes, I agree with you. How do you, you know, obviously moving on from a place like Russia, but how do you stop homophobic chants in the stadiums? I do a lot of work with Kick It Out. And I know they will say it starts with grassroots football. So would you agree with that? How do we begin to change this mentality in the stadiums?
I think referees actually play a vital part of that. And obviously every game at grassroots to professional has a referee. We are not necessarily the most educated around discrimination and things like that. And so that's something that I'm working on currently, to try and get an education tool designed and made before the start of the season that will be then distributed to all referees in the country who are in the best place, one, to identify the language that's being used and whether it's to be reporting clubs or reporting fans, or it's dealing with players, so it's challenging players, whether it be challenging, yellow card, red card, you know, however that's going to look. And I think we're in a great position to be a neutral party and actually know what's right and wrong and report on that. And once you start that process, it starts to open up discussion points within grassroots football and higher up then.
Yeah, we agree. And let's slightly move forward, because I know we've only got, I think we've got a few minutes left with you. Let's talk about the World Cup again, VAR.
Yeah.
I was very angry and passionate about my views on VAR a week ago. Now I'm getting to the point when commentators, it just seems that's all they're going on about. What do you think about VAR? Has it been a success so far during the World Cup?
I think you've got to remember that it was managers and fans that wanted VAR. And now it's a bittersweet pill, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, no, the goal goes in and nobody cheers anymore. They just sit there waiting. You know, part of sport is for people to miss open goals. Hopefully not for referees to make a mistake, but we understand it's a human sport, human error.
Yes.
And that's part of sport. And I think what we've come to with VAR is actually we're getting too clinical.
The trouble is that it is still people. I mean, there's still people watching the screen, so you're still getting that opinion and the human error. I mean, there's some great memes floating around suggesting that Putin is on the phone saying to the referees, release their family now, blah, blah, blah.
That's hilarious.
And I think that, so it is always open to sabotage, so there will always be still fans who say, oh no, surely that happened, or have these conspiracy theories. So really, are we in that much of a better place with it?
I think we've got to remember sport is also, especially things like the World Cup and the Premier League, are also businesses, and there's a lot of money riding on games, and there's a lot of pressure there on people to make the right decisions. And you know, when you take the Premier League and you take a number of decisions that referees make, I think over the season it was something like 96% of the decisions they make are actually correct, but it's always the 4% that actually gets reported on. I think VAR is a great tool. Obviously, there's been some controversy around certain decisions.
So you think almost it's quite a nice tool to support a referee to kind of give them a bit of a safety net it's not just me.
But I think from the games that I've watched, I think the attitude and the behaviour of players has got worse. The amount of surrounding the referee and running at the referee.
There's a lack of respect.
It's completely changed. If you look at the previous World Cup to this World Cup, you will notice a referee getting surrounded. We've gone away from the waving the imaginary yellow card to constantly running into the referee's face now and doing the whole telly signal.
That's very true.
You know, Cristiano Ronaldo is one of those players that does that. He's in his face.
Well, he was yellow carded for that, though, wasn't he?
He was. But it was interesting because Nigel Owens put on Twitter the other day two pictures, and two was from the World Cup and two was from the Rugby World Cup, and there was Nigel obviously talking to a rugby player in a game live. And then there was two pictures of a referee and the player screaming. You could just see the anger on his face.
Yeah.
And he was literally touching his nose.
There
it was two different games.
Yeah.
And you would think that with VAR, people would behave. So the grappling, the wrestling that's been taking place in the box.
There's no point.
But it's got worse.
Dives. I was expecting the dives.
And the rolling around.
Yeah, but it has
the
carried
Brazil
on.
The Brazil game is a prime example.
Do you
example.
Not think with Neymar that it was because of his metatarsal, and it was, you know, it's a pre-existing injury. He's worked on, I think he's had surgery four times. Do you not think that he was in that much pain? Or do you think it was dramatics?
I think it was a bit dramatic, wasn't it?
I think they're all a little bit dramatic. I actually went so far as to say, when I was watching, I think it was the France-Argentina game, I'm not sure I've ever seen a football player not be able to get back up when they've had a dive.
Interesting.
I mean, I'll hold my hands up, I haven't watched that much football. But it does seem that a large proportion of the dives are not entirely warranted.
Yeah, I think...
As a referee, actually, that would interest me. Do you have to make a call? Is there any sort of... Can you penalise them if it's a very obvious dive?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, so if there's any contact at all, you cannot penalise the person. You can't caution the person yellow card the player because there's contact. And obviously within a game of football or any sport, there is natural contact. You're running side by side, you're going to have natural contact. If there is no contact and the player goes down and he, you know, screams or raises his hands or tries to deceive you, then yes, you can stop play, award a free kick and yellow card the person. But it's so difficult to... It's got to be so clear and obvious, and that's the key thing. If there's a slightest bit of contact, you cannot say that person has dived because there's been contact.
What do you think of the new ruling whereby you can, if you... a denied goal so long as you're going for the ball?
So the law changed as basically to stop double punishment. So what they decided was that if you made a genuine attempt to play the ball with through a tackle, then you only get a yellow card and a penalty. However, if you push, hold, pull...
So long as it's with your foot.
As it's a genuine attempt and a tackle. Mm. So the ball's at the feet. The player slid in. He's made a genuine attempt to play the ball. If the ball's far, 3 or 4 yards forward, and the player comes in and he takes the player out, that's still a red card because he's not made a genuine attempt to play the ball. So actually, it is players that make a genuine attempt. A bit like a keeper comes out, he makes a genuine attempt to get the ball, and he catches the attacker. Previously, that would be a red card and a penalty. Now it's a yellow card.
So actually, the ref's decision in Croatia versus Denmark was completely right.
Yeah, and it's just, again, it's just that education around sport and around what the referee's doing, because there has been so many law changes. And you know, people don't pick up a law book and read the rules. Everybody thinks they know the rules, but
oh god, yes.
Oh, I'll hold my hands up. I do not.
I get very angry. Like tonight's game, very angry. Very quickly, you touched on it earlier about your upcoming Pride event you're speaking at. Is it next week?
Saturday.
I'm like, where's that?
Saturday, 10 to 2 on Trafalgar Square stage. So it'd be one of the first sports persons to stand up there and talk for 2 minutes, and hopefully encourage people to come out for sport and support sport, because it is the last thing to change. And I think there's quite a few people within the LGBT community who play sport that don't feel that the rest of the LGBT community are behind them because there is no interest in sport in general.
Yeah.
And so it's to encourage people to support sport, play sport. They've got to remember that sport isn't afraid of LGBT, and LGBT shouldn't be afraid of sport, really. And that's the key thing.
That's very well said. Do you think you'll be having this conversation in 5 years' time?
I hope not.
Time?
It'd be quite boring, wouldn't it?
Johnny, I'd be like, mate, bring something new to the table.
Exactly, there's got to be something new. I mean, LGBT has got to only last another couple of years, I think, and then there's got to be something new that we're going to talk about.
There's got to be something else coming.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us today. It's been
thank you.
To stay for longer.
I know.
We've got so many questions for you.
We'll talk it again if England gets to the final.
Oh, yes. My nerves. Yes. Yeah, it's a deal. You'll definitely go back on. Ryan, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Ryan Atkin. What song do you fancy? We've got the Kirsten McCall England 2-0 song we could play, or we've got Vindaloo by Fat Lads.
I think we should end on Vindaloo.
Do you like that your swan song is Vindaloo? How do you feel about that?
I don't like a Vindaloo, so there we go.
There you go, from Ryan to Fat Les. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Where on earth are you from? We from England. Where do you come from? Do you put the kettle on? Kick it. Introduce you please to a lump of cheddar cheese. Knit one power, drop one cower.
and me mum and me dad and me gran went off to Waterloo. Me and me mum and me dad and me gran and a bucket of Vindaloo.
Yeah, there we go. I've just get myself all organised. Don't really know what's happening.
Well, I was just saying, that is an endless bloody song. I mean, it's good and it makes me feel a little warm inside, but there is something about World Cup songs that just seem to replay the same words over and over and over again.
It did make me laugh. It was play. You were like, oh my God, this is endless.
Well, I kept going to
left.
Grab...
It's not ending.
Yeah, I kept going to grab my headphones and thinking it was going to that England at the end, and then it just... It was like a sneeze that doesn't come. It was... endless.
There's no other word really.
It
really didn't happen for you, but that was Vindaloo by Fat Les. And I was also saying that if we do win tonight, then all the pubs are going to be playing that. And talk about pubs, actually, we've had Ryan Atkin in here talking about a lot to do with the LGBT, and he was saying that Q Bar and Two Brewers.
Three Brewers.
Is it Three Brewers? I thought it was Two Brewers.
Google it.
Okay.
As someone who used to live in Soho, I'm quietly confident that it is Three Brewers.
Yeah, I'd believe you over me any time, to be honest, when it comes to
it.
Oh,
I love you.
Thanks, any time, babe. So they'll be playing the England game tonight as well. So do make sure you everyone has to go watch it. Come on, whatever you do, you have to watch it. I'm nervous already, I'm not going to lie. And I think I've probably made myself very clear about that. And if it is 1-0, I don't think my nerves will take it.
No, I know.
Now,
you know what? I have to take it all back. It is Two Brewers. If you do want to go to a LGBT friendly pub, they are screening the football, and which is quite a big thing, actually. Ryan was saying it's the Two Brewers in Soho.
Yeah, well, on that note, we're going to go to our next guest on the phone right now, live from Russia with ESPN for the World Cup, is Alison Bender. Alison, hello.
Hello. It actually feels like I'm in England right now because I've just had to run for cover. Because it's just started raining, but
no.
Anytime the boys will feel like they're out.
You know what?
Seriously.
That's probably really good for us. We're probably really good in the wet.
Exactly. I'm just standing outside the Spartak Stadium, and I have to say, this place is full of Colombians. And there aren't many English, so I feel very completely outnumbered.
No, I'm not surprised.
Thankfully, England fans have got their singing voices on.
They were predicting that it would be about 30,000 Colombian fans against 3,000 from England. So, yeah, we will be relying on you heavily, Alison, to up the numbers, get the support going.
What's the atmosphere out there in Russia today?
Oh, my goodness. It's absolutely brilliant. It's just really sad, you know, because there was so much scaremongering about how it was going to be a really unsafe place.
Yep.
Obviously, all the politics going on between England and Russia and the, you know, the clash of fans at the Euros in Marseille. And so many England fans have put off coming. I ran into a few England lads and I said to them, I know you're English because I can spot you a mile off, but weren't you wearing shirts? And they said, well, we were told not to wear shirts, not to bring flags.
That's
and, you know,
so
we're
sad.
Obeying the orders. But frankly, we feel really sad because we want to be loud and proud and support our country. And so it is a real shame that the numbers are down, and especially since, I know it sounds a bit crazy, but everyone's talking about the fact that it's coming home and we don't want to get too carried away just yet. But if we do end up doing something really special, how sad that a lot fewer fans are here to witness this incredible spectacle because of all that kind of stuff that went on before. So I just think that is a little bit sad, to be honest.
Yeah, I completely agree. And even the wags, I mean, a lot of the wags were told to stay home. I did read earlier today that some of them actually went out for a night out, which apparently is a big deal considering that they were told not to. But yeah, it will be really nice if there is enough support out there. Alison, how far can we go? Do you really think we can bring this home?
Oh, I mean, I don't want to get too excited. This happens before every single tournament. I get excited and then we get so let down. And obviously it was Iceland last time. I mean, all I'll say about this one is if we do go out to Colombia, it's not going to be a humiliation or an embarrassment. But if we do get past this first hurdle, I can see us going all the way. I can't believe I'm actually saying that.
Okay, goosebumps.
But this is obviously a big hurdle, and Colombia are a really good side.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, I think that we're not being complacent. I love what Gareth Southgate's done with this squad.
Yeah.
I even feel confident if it goes to penalties, believe it or not.
I do
because I know we have this. Well, I know we have this hoodoo and that we have a terrible time of it. But Southgate has addressed that months and months ago, and he's spoken to every single one of the players. He's drawn up a list of, you know, 23 in order. Like, he knows every single person.
He's
because
done a
he
great
spoke
job.
About, you know, when he took that dreaded penalty, he said that he wasn't prepared for it, and he won't let his players go through that again. So I don't know, if it goes to penalties, just be a little bit more confident than you normally would be.
Okay, that's made me feel a little bit better. Now, I understand you've worked with Gareth Southgate before.
Yeah, I have. He's such a lovely guy.
And when he got the England job, like, I had my doubts about him when he got the England job. Did you know he would be... He is a success. He's a very successful England manager. Did you know he'd be the success that he is?
To be honest, he surprised everyone, me included. I think he even thought that the job was too big for him. Do you remember him saying at the beginning, you know, I'm not really sure. I think this is a step too far for me.
Yeah.
Because he was being realistic. But there's a couple of things I want to say. I mean, I remember when Fabio Capello was the coach, and I worked with Fabio Capello when I was at Real Madrid. And if I'm honest, I don't like seeing... Well, I like having an Englishman in charge, put it that way. I feel a lot more patriotic. It seems to make sense. And I've been so impressed with all the things that Southgate has to deal with, you know, whether it's politics, whether it's racism, you know, everything aside from football itself. He stood up and he's spoken so eloquently. You know, when Fabian Delph had to go home for the birth of his child, I love the fact that he said, you know, I know the oldies won't agree with me, the older generation, but family's more important than football.
Yeah, it's very
all the messages he's delivering. I love hearing that stuff. And you know, I think he's a rounded guy. I think he's a great man manager. I think that the players look up to him. He's been there and done that. Okay, he hasn't, you know, had the successes with England that the boys would like, but he's in it with them as well to do something special. I'm talking myself up here, and at the end of the day, I'm nervous as anyone, but there's definitely signs at grassroots that England are kind of turning around. And do you know what? I just got to say one last thing, but this reminds me of Spain, okay? Because Spain are the same as England. All these years of hurt, everyone was tarring them with the brush that, you know, they're never going to do anything, they're not experienced enough, they're always losing. And then obviously they had that phenomenal run where they won the Euros and the World Cup and the Euros. And I feel, in a similar kind of way, it's England time. But I don't know, we could get beaten by Colombia in a couple of hours' time.
No, we won't go there. Very quickly, this World Cup has been insane. There's been, we've got Germany, we've got Spain, Argentina, we've got such big teams leaving the tournament. Talk to us about that. Has it been as much of a surprise to you with these teams leaving?
Totally. I mean, we should have realised the narrative from day one when Russia beat Saudi Arabia 5-0. I mean, we knew Saudi Arabia weren't very good, but we didn't expect Russia to come out of the blocks like that. And then when Russia beat Spain, it just left everyone in such shock. Mm. I think no one could believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. They did exactly what they needed to do. I mean, it was a horrible game to watch. But at the end of the day, they know how to get a result. And it's always good when the hosts stay in the tournament a long way, because obviously the atmosphere is better surrounding it. You know, who knows, we might meet Russia in the semi-final. And wow, I mean, that could be interesting on so many different levels. But, you know, just seeing some of these shocks that we saw, you know, Argentina drawing with Iceland and Messi missing a penalty. Obviously, Messi and Ronaldo have now gone home. Yep. The holes is Germany, Portugal, the Euro champions. It's just all of these big teams are falling by the wayside, and every team that falls gives England a better chance of going further. So, you know, it can only be a good thing.
So one of the things that Ronaldo said upon leaving, after he had been yellow carded for his little rant at the ref, he mentioned how impressed he was with the tournament, how it had been run really well with professionalism, felt very safe. Is that the kind of feeling that you have out there?
100%. I mean, Vladimir Putin said at the beginning, I want you to see what Russia's all about. I mean, we're a gorgeous country. We have beaches. Who knew? I mean, nobody really, well, a lot of people, let's say, hadn't really done their research on Russia and had just kind of believed some of what was going around. And I think that, I mean, some of the things that surprised me the most, for example, the cleanliness, the friendliness of the people, the fact they've got televisions on the metro so you can watch the games on the way to the match.
No way.
The policing is phenomenal, honestly. Like, they have, you know, horses, police on horses in massive rows leading up to the stadium, and everyone's cheering the police. It's just this friendly feel-good. It kind of reminds me of the 2012 Olympics in London. You know, that whole feel-good, yes, and everyone's smiling.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds cheesy, but they've got volunteers with big sponge hands telling you to high-five them.
Oh,
and when you've got people doing that, yeah, but the fact is, because when you've got that everywhere, how can you be in a bad mood? Like, it just kind of puts everyone in a happy mood, because these are volunteers and they're, you know, they're having loads of fun with you all. So it really is such a great tournament. I'm absolutely loving it.
Yeah, well, I'm loving it as well. And it's all down to this game, I think, to see how much more love we have for the World Cup. Alison, thank you so, so much. Enjoy watching it.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I can't
wait.
See you
then.
Bye, Alison.
Bye.
Oh, lovely. That's Alison Bender, who is reporting for ESPN out in Russia. Our lady from Russia.
Our lady from Russia.
And if you don't know quite as much about football as Alison, don't panic. I wrote a blog post yesterday.
I love your blog post. I applauded you.
I'm not convinced it's factually completely 100% accurate, but
potato, potato.
Hopefully it's okay. So we will be tweeting that out in case you do want a football virgin's guide to the World Cup.
Yeah, it was a genius idea.
Thanks.
That's all right, darling.
Well, I mean, it kind of comes to the territory. we have got a little alternative World Cup game for you now.
So, you know, I think it's quite normal for us Brits. We're a little bit shy and retiring, but reserved.
Yeah,
that's the word.
We're not big on our emotions.
So I wonder what some commentators are like on the other side of the pond. First of all, we've got a Malaysian commentator on Ronaldo's free kick against Spain. Take a listen to this.
Ronaldo! Oh! Why this man? He's called a genius! Genius!
Wow.
Cristiano Ronaldo over the moon! It's 3-3! My goodness! What a goal! Cristiano Ronaldo!
I'm being very excited. I wonder what the Arabic commentary on the exact same game is like.
Iniesta!
Dated him once.
You know what? That's almost quite pretty. It almost sounds like a song. I think it's probably made more difficult by we don't know the language, but there did seem to be an awful lot of repeated words.
Yes, there did. There did.
I'm not sure how much of a sentence was going on there.
I'd like to know.
Definitely wasn't BBC, but no. I really enjoyed it. Have we got any more?
Yes, we've got an Argentinian commentary of the winner against Nigeria. Here we go. Like to be a commentator.
Once again,
goal!
That was endless.
No! Well done, Rachel. Rachel.
My
amazing work
eardrums.
There. Amazing work there. Come back for the next one.
Well done, Rachel. I think we can safely secure it.
Can I do one more?
Okay,
all right. Just because I'm quite excited to hear the last one. We've got the Arabic commentary of the German game. Here we go. Ready?
Wasl! Wakura! Wabuhawala! Wagol! Goal! 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 Hoa! 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 Hoa!
That was the best yet! Hoa! 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 Goal! I could be a commentator!
No, you can. Don't give up your day job. I think we're going to have to wrap up quite soon because we have got another song to play you, which I don't want to play Curse of the Commentator, but we found a song today that goes England 2, Colombia 0.
Yeah, you were very excited about this. And do we think, because we've got a couple of minutes left of the show, let's talk about tonight. Well, actually, we've got a few facts very quickly. Brazil forward Neymar's defended himself, well, we mentioned this earlier, against his challenger in the 2-0 World Cup last 16 win over Mexico, saying, "I just feel the pain." If you saw footage of Neymar, I think he probably did feel the pain. He's had a lot of work done on his metatarsal, but
I mean, of course he had to defend himself.
It was a little bit dramatic. We've got one more story, but I don't know if we've got time to do
super
it justice.
Super quickly, the Nigerian captain John Obi Mikel faced Argentina last Tuesday in the knowledge that his father was being held for ransom. Didn't tell anyone because the kidnappers threatened to shoot instantly if authorities were informed. All sounds a bit like a film, but it actually happened. He received a call from the kidnappers 4 hours before kickoff in the decisive World Cup clash in St. Petersburg. They were demanding the equivalent of $28,000 for the safe return of his father. He was actually rescued a week later and is largely unharmed. However, it's the second time that his father has been abducted.
Yeah, it's
shocking.
Let me just get. Is he?
It was in 2011, and he was released after 10 days.
Yeah, it's yeah awful, but also shows, I guess, the mental strength of John Mikel Obi. I wish we could talk about it a little bit more. But on that note, we are about to enter an evening of hopefully history in the making, an evening of love, of laughter, of highs, of lows.
Of not texting Olivia because she's watching it on catch up.
It's never going to happen, babe. I'm sorry, darling. It's never going to happen.
Rachel, score prediction.
I am going to say, do you know what? I actually want to say 2-0. I want 2-0.
All right, let's hedge our bets. Here we
I'm
go.
I'm so scared. I'm
let's
so
go
scared.
For 2-0. And Kirsty McCall clearly agreed with us when she sang this song. Actually, about a man going on a date to the pub to watch the game with a man who's cheated on his wife. But never mind.
Doesn't matter. Details. Here details. We enjoy. We'll see you next week. Same time,
good
same
luck,
place.
Good luck, England.
Coming home.
Bye.
Shouldn't have kissed me and got me so excited. And when you asked me out, I really was delighted. So we went to a pub in Belsize Park and we cheered on England as the sky grew dark. Oh, you shouldn't have kissed me, 'cause you started a fire. But then I found out that you're a serial liar. You lied about your status, you lied about your life. You never mentioned your three children and the fact. On my heart full of desire, I might never have found out you're a serial liar. You lied about your status, you lied about your life. You forgot you have three children, you forgot you have a wife. Now it's England 2, Colombia 0. And I know just how those Colombians feel. It is not in my nature to ever pick the winning team. Sometimes I think I'm happy, then I remember desire. forgot he had three children. He forgot he had a wife. And it's England 2, Colombia 0. And I know just how those Colombians feel. So I got into a taxi and sobbed all the way home. Called my friend up in Sao Paulo and cried down the phone. I played some tragic music and I lay down to die. But later I awoke and I hadn't stopped crying.